How many of you are thankful we're safe evermore by what Jesus Christ did? Thank you for letting us be here. And Doctor, thank you for this anniversary Sunday. May we never forget, when they started this church, everything you're looking at was here, not here. This was just a vision that God gave them. And by faith, they stepped out to do all these things. And let's thank them. And I wish his wife was here, but would you thank Pastor and his precious wife for what they did? Thank them so much for that. And please know we're not applauding the man or the lady. We're applauding what God has done through that man and through that precious lady. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I'm so glad that Miss Kay got celebrated here today. I know in our ministry, the people who know everything that's going on are the secretaries. Mm-hmm. I have to call and find out what's happening and which way to go. And Miss Kay, thank you for your faithfulness all these years. What a great, great lady. Yes. How's your mountain moving? You say, how's what? You realize Jesus commands you and me to be mountain movers. And he says, I want you to know that as my child, I want you to move mountains. Now, in Scripture, and we're going to read the Bible here in just a minute, when God talks about moving mountains, he's not talking about geography or physical topography. He's talking about mountains, things that are impossible, difficulties. We still use this term today. Someone will say, I'm under a mountain of debt right now. I'm under a mountain of worry and fear. I got a mountain of uncertainty in front of me. I got a mountain of physical things, a mountain of health things. And we use that term not to mean a mountain, but to mean something impossible that we're having to face. And here's the one thing I know. Everybody in this room at some point is going to have a mountain to move. Everybody. You say, well, right now life's pretty good. Well, that's great. Wonderful. Only takes one phone call to turn your universe upside down. One visit to a doctor, just one incident in a day, and suddenly you're dealing with what you could never, ever have imagined. At our ministry for the Christian Law Association, I get these calls all the time. I can't believe I'm having to call you, Brother Gibbs. I can't believe what just happened. Life is full of uncertainties, but we have a God who's in the mountain moving business. And I just want to ask you, how is your mountain moving? If we had to move some mountains today, would you be the one who could raise their hand and say, by the grace of God, I can put myself up for this? Let's look at what Jesus said to his followers and to his disciples. The book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, we're going to come back to this in a minute. But be careful. This world wants you to put faith in talent, in experience, anything but God. And talent and experience is not your answer. Amen. People stand up and say, I'm the answer. No, God is the answer. But he said, put your faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. How's your mountain moving? Is God answering your prayers? Now, Jesus said there's two keys to moving mountains here. We want to be very careful because we want to get these straight. You say, because, well, God plays no favorites. This passage is sure addressed to your pastor. It's addressed to you. God, by prayer, wants you to be able to move mountains. But he says there's two absolute keys. Number one, you got to ask. And my question is, how is your ask? I doubt if there's anybody in this room that says, I wasn't aware that God wanted us to pray. I wasn't aware that prayer existed. We know that. But the fact that you know that God wants you to pray and you know that prayer is all powerful doesn't mean that you're asking in prayer. When we get to heaven, I know the Lord is going to chastise me because he's going to say, David, you asked for so pitiful little. Did you not understand my mountain-moving ability? And I said, ask in faith, believing, and you shall receive. But you have to trigger the ask. Now, your pastor would do it for you if he could, but no one can do it for you. No one can do it for me but me. What are you asking for that's mountain-moving? Whoa. Now, this is not in the Bible, what I'm about to say. It would be wonderful if it were, but it's not. It would be wonderful if God said, as a child of God, you get 10 miracle asks. You can ask God for 10 absolutely impossible things. Not 11, 10, so choose carefully. That's not in the Bible. You know what the number is in the Bible? It's unlimited. It's only limited by your asking. What are you asking for? Specifically asking. The word used for ask here was the word for being specific. Ask and ye shall receive, the New Testament says, 6 times. 7 times Jesus said, ask in faith, believing, and ye shall receive. But it triggers by the ask. Now, I've never met anybody with any kind of a prayer life that didn't have a good prayer list. What are you asking for on that list? I know you love your family. What are you asking for that's impossible? What are you asking God to do for your kids, your grandchildren? What are you asking God to do for your mate? Not difficult things, not hard things, impossible things. Ask in faith, believing, and ye shall receive. Now, Jesus said, I want to make sure you get this clear, because nothing's impossible with me. Matthew 19, verse 26, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Chapter 10, verse 27 of Mark, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Luke 18, verse 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. What are you asking for that's impossible? My wife has helped me with this a great many times. She'll say, on our prayer list, we've not got many things that are impossible. What would we like God to do that's impossible? What do you want God to do? You have not because you ask not. I don't know what the vision and future of this magnificent church is. God's used it so wonderfully. But I know this, is just the beginning. What are you asking for? In faith, believing, and it shall be given him. Wow. I have a prayer list for my wife. I've shared it hundreds and hundreds of times. I pray 62 things every day for my wife. Every day. And I've shared that list many times. And if you read my list, you'd go down it and you'd say, I want that, I want that, I want that. You'd say, I want that 62 times. There's only one problem you're not asking. What would it take to get you asking? I know you love your kids. You love your grandchildren. I know you love America. You love this church. You love the cause of Christ. But you have to ask. I have the privilege to travel around America, and Brother Steve travels with me a great deal, Michael, my son-in-law, Dennis here, and we get to witness to a lot of people. And you know what the hardest problem is I have for people to get saved? They can't believe, number one, it's so simple. And they can't believe that they have to ask. I say, why don't you just ask God to save you? And that ask hangs them up. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I always tell them, if I could do it for you, I would. But you have to do it for yourself. Hell's going to be full of people who knew how to be saved, but they never asked. And heaven's going to be full of people who could have asked for impossible things, but they never asked. My dad got a phone call. I'll never forget it. It was a young evangelist. And this young evangelist said, I understand you got semi-trucks. And my dad said, yeah, we got a lot of semis. He said, well, our trucks are so shot, I can't pull my tent up. He said, it takes a lot of power to pull that tent up off the ground, to rise it. And he said, would you come down with some of your trucks and help me get my tent up? My dad said, sure. Well, I was just a kid. I loved to ride along in those trucks. I enjoyed them. I enjoy them to this day. And we go down there, and boy, here's this tent all spread out on the ground, huge, big tent. My dad got out and walked around, looked at that tent, Brother Williams. My dad said, I don't know how to tell you this, young man. Your tent's shot. He said, you got as much patch as tent. He said, no, that's not accurate. He said, I got more patch than tent. He said, you're right, it's a mess. My dad said, we're never going to get this thing up. He said, we start pulling on it with these trucks, we'll shred it to pieces. He said, no, you're right, except I'm going to ask. My dad said, you're what? He said, God's going to move this mountain. He said, I'm going to ask. And I never heard anybody say that. Has anybody heard you say it? It's Bible. I'm going to ask. He said, look, hook the trucks up, but don't pull. You'll kill it. And just go over here. I'm going to get on my face with God, and I'm going to ask God to move this mountain. My dad said, well, that's in the Bible, all right. But he said, now you won't be mad if I kill your tent, will you? He said, no. He walked over a distance from us and got on his face in that field. He started crying out to God. My dad's truck drivers came over and said, what's he doing? My dad said, he's praying. Yeah, but what's this thing about he's asking God to move a mountain? What is this? Has anybody heard you, your mate, your kids? Have you heard you say it? We serve a God that does the impossible. But he said, you got to ask in faith, believing. After about 10, maybe 15 minutes, he stood up. He said, okay, pull. My dad said, look, we'll do it, but now you won't be mad, right? He said, pull. Boy, that tent went up. That thing creaked. It groaned. It made noises you couldn't imagine. But it went up. When it was all up, they staked it all down. And the drivers for my dad came over and said, that was impossible. Did you hear that thing? How did he do that? Listen, he didn't do it. God did it. What do you want to see God do in your life? Not man, God. My dad turned to that young evangelist and he said, listen, young man, he said, that's a miracle, all right, I'll give you that. But he said, we need to buy you a new tent. He said, this tent is really shot. He said, no, this is the last time I'll use it. He said, I'm starting a church here. I've rented a little dilapidated movie theater, holds 60 people, rat infested, and I'm going to start a church here. So this is the last couple weeks I'll need this tent. And he said, I do have something you could pray about, though. And my dad said, what's that? He said, I've asked God to let me put the gospel on television. My dad said, you want to do what now? He said, I want to put the gospel on television. Now, remember, there was no cable. In the town we lived, there were three channels. Two of them went off the air at 8 o'clock at night. The other one went off the air at 10 o'clock at night. How many of you remember TV when it was all white snow? How many of you remember that? All the snow coming down. This is the early 1950s. My dad said, you want to put the gospel on television? He said, I've never seen anything like that. He said, I just want to give the Romans Road the gospel on TV. My dad said, you have training for that? He said, no. He said, "Do you have education for that?" He said, "No, I never graduated from high school." He said, "I had to go to work in order to support my mom and my brothers and sisters when my dad died." My dad said, "What makes you think you can do it?" He said, "I asked. I asked." Do you understand how powerful an ask is with God? Ask in faith, believing. These are mind games. No, this is Bible.
Amen.
He got that little church started going up to the TV station. And he told the guy, "I have no money, but I want you to put me on. I need 10, 15 minutes to give the gospel. All I want to give is how to be saved, the Romans Road from the book of Romans. I just want them to know how to be saved." And I said, "Why would I put you on for free when I got people standing in line with money?" And he said, "I'm not putting the gospel on television." Week after week, we went back. And the guy that owned the station kept saying, "Why would I put you on?" And he said, "Because I asked." Do you believe God honors his word? Oh, well, he might do that for Pastor Williams. He might do that for... No, he wants to do it for you. But you got to ask in faith, believing. Whoa. After he went back week after week, and the guy kept saying, "No, no, no." In fact, the guy got ugly, kept cussing at him. He's walking out of the place, and a secretary sitting there says, "My sister's dying. This gospel you want to put on television about how to be saved and know heaven's your home, could you come give it to my sister who's dying?" He said, "I'd be loved to do that." By the way, that's why this church is here, to tell people you can know heaven for sure. Every person in this room is bound for heaven or hell, one of the two. But God wants you to know for sure you're going to heaven. She said, "Follow me." Well, he thought she lived in the neighborhood. And the lady started driving. What he didn't know is this sister lived 300 miles away. And he's following her. And finally, he's blinking his lights. And he said, "Look, I'm running out of fuel. I don't have money for fuel." And she said, "That's all right. You just keep following me. I'll fill you up." Got to that sister, led her to Jesus Christ, gave her the simple gospel. Wow. They came out of the sister's home, and that secretary said, "I see you up there week after week talking about how you've asked God to put you on television, and they treat you really bad. He cusses at you a lot." He said, "Yeah, I know." She said, "Well, come next Saturday, you're going to be on television." And he said, "Ma'am, I don't know. That guy's pretty mean." She said, "I know. That's my husband." "And he doesn't own the station. I do. He works for me." God just answered your ask. She said, "Now your clothes are shot. I want you to get a new sport coat and be ready." Next Saturday, he was up there, gave the gospel for 10 minutes, and said, "If you prayed that sinner's prayer, I want you to write me." There was no internet. And people wrote and said, "I prayed that with you." And week after week, suddenly there were hundreds. And this lady came and said, "I know a lot of other people that own stations. I'll get you on." And within 5 years' time, he was on 1,600 stations across America. And every week when he'd say, "If you prayed that prayer, write to me," 26,000 people a week wrote and said, "I prayed that prayer. Now what?" Somebody asked. Do you have any idea how powerful an ask is? My dad's 80th birthday, we were to celebrate it for him. And I said, "Dad, what would you like?" He said, "Do you think you could track that evangelist down that we pulled his tent up?" I said, "I'll try." And I did. I said, would you come? And he came and celebrated my dad's 80th birthday. He had a great time. Next morning, I'm to take him back to the airport from his hotel. And I said, now, I'll pick you right up out front. Don't be late. I got there super early. I can't find this evangelist anywhere. I'm asking everybody, have you seen him? Have you seen him? I went up to his room. He checked out, but I couldn't find him. Finally, the guy out at the curb, I said, you haven't seen a guy walking around carrying a Bible, have you? He said, yeah, I have. I said, where'd he go? He said, well, two buses pulled up, and he got these buses to follow him. And they walked down a hall, and they're in a room down there. And I walked down. He's got men on their faces getting saved in a hotel. I said, what happened? He said, I told God before I leave, I want to win some people to Christ, so I asked. God, don't let me leave here without winning some people. Do you realize how little we ask for? And he said, these two buses pulled up and these businessmen all start getting off. And I said, are you here for the meeting? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, follow me. You're to go with me. And he led them down the hall. When you get to heaven and see what could have been, had you asked? Now, when you ask God for something, God always answers that prayer, always. But please get this right. God has four responses, and they're all out of love. Sometimes God says no, because what you're asking for is not in your best interest. You just don't know it. I love what Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Graham, said. She said, it's a good thing God says no, or I'd have married the wrong man five times. She said, I kept saying, this is the one, give me him, and it was not the one. Sometimes in God, in his loving mercy, says no. Sometimes God says, yeah, but we're going to do this slow. Sometimes he wants you to exercise faith and do faith building. And sometimes he says, grow. Do you understand? Waiting on God, God's promised to answer, but you've got to ask. And most of the time he says, go. God wants you to ask. In faith believing, mountain moving. But he says there's a key that's the second part. Ask in faith believing. Now, it took faith to get you saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is putting your trust, your confidence in what God says. And he says, you got to ask in faith believing, not just ask. I don't know if you've ever done this. Man, I prayed for some stuff and I said, well, I didn't think it was going to happen anyway. There was no faith in it. Those were wasted words. God says, I want you to take me at my word. I do not lie. I don't misrepresent. Ask in faith, believing, and ye shall have them. But what are you doing to grow your faith? Now, it doesn't take a lot of faith. Turn back to the book of Matthew. I want you to mark this verse, Matthew 17, verse 20. Matthew 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Faith as a grain of mustard seed. A mustard seed in that day was the smallest particle of grain that they knew of. To this day, it takes 22,000 mustard seeds to weigh an ounce. It's a minuscule seed. And God says, that's all that it takes to move mountains. What are you doing to your faith? Ask in faith, believing. Now, the devil knows these verses are in the Bible. And the devil wants to do everything that he can to keep you from moving mountains in your life and your family. And by the way, I don't know what you've got in your life, and you don't know what I have in mine. All I can tell you is I've got a lot of mountains that need to move. Everybody does. But by the grace of God, our God says, ask in faith, believing. Now write these four things down and we're done. How do I have my faith grow? Faith is never static, by the way. The fact you had faith at one time doesn't mean it's at that level today. Remember John the Baptist? He's in prison. His faith started to waver. He sent his followers to Jesus and said, are you the one? Because his faith was being buffeted. What are you doing to grow your faith? Oh, this is powerful. The first way your faith grows is from the Word of God. From the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, Romans 10:17. What are you doing to keep yourself in the Word? I hope this isn't true of you, but boy, in our trials, we sure find a lot of this. We got people spend more time watching television, reading books, than they do reading their Bible. And then they wonder why their faith is wavering. Nothing can take the place of the Word of God. Nothing. Amen. And the question is, are you into the Word? Social media. What an incredible tool. What a disaster. People sit there and are more time on their iPhone than they would ever think about being in their Bible. And yet faith comes from the Word. From the Word. By the way, when you're in the middle of a crisis, you're not going to say, get me my iPhone. You're going to say, get me my Bible. It's the living Word of God. Don't let the devil separate you from this book. It amazes me how most of the people have more than one Bible, but they don't read any. They get comfortable just carrying it, having it, possessing it. God wants you to be in it. He wants you to read it. That'll just absolutely mega dose your faith. The second thing that increases faith is prayer. Number one is the Word. That's the key. Number two is prayer. Mark chapter 9, verse 24, you know the man came to Jesus asking to have his child healed. And he said, if you have faith, I'll heal that child. And he said, Lord, I have faith, but help thou mine unbelief. When's the last time you said, God, help my faith to grow? Oh, it'll change everything. I was listening to Brother Yoder, this precious man of God here, who was just on the mission field in Muslim countries in the Near East and Far East, and how God has used them. I mean, Muslim control where people are being slaughtered and killed. Where do they get the faith to do that? Well, I'll tell you, when they get it from the Word and they get it from prayer, nothing can take the place of those two things. If you're anything like me, I think we all watch too much news. And by the way, you know what I've discovered? They repeat the same thing every 30 minutes. Isn't it amazing? When I was growing up, we had a half an hour of local news and a half an hour of national and international news. And that was it for the day. Now all of a sudden, we've got it 24/7 coming from all sides. And nothing can take the place of the Word of God or prayer. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. It comes from the Word. It comes from prayer. Write number three down. It comes from fellowship. Romans 1, verse 12. Do you realize we have a duty to each other to edify one another? We're to be faith putter-inners, not faith sucker-outers. It troubles me when I meet Christians that want to suck the hope out of you. Mercy, I hope I don't do that to people. That destroys their faith. When we come together like this, God doesn't command us just to come together for no reason. It's because that's His command. And God wants us to have this faith. It comes from the Word, and it comes from prayer, and it comes from fellowship, and it comes from putting it to work. The Bible says, James chapter 2, verse 20, faith without works is dead. You got to take the faith you have and exercise it. I ask people all the time, you have the faith to do this? Yes. Well, have you put it to work? What are you doing? Well, no, I haven't put it to work. Faith without works is dead. I cannot tell you the number of dreams that I've seen people. For God, this is what our church we want to do. But it's dead. It hasn't gone anywhere. And you say, why? Why? Why didn't you put that faith to work? And the bottom line is, their faith was wavering. Good people. But the bottom line is the word, the prayer, the fellowship, the exercise. Boy, that takes faith and makes it. Mom, one day your kids are going to need to have you move mountains for them. And are you going to be in the position to do it? Dad, one day, as your family, as its leader, you're going to have to move mountains for that family. And God wants you to do it. He says, I'll make it possible. Just have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. But you got to be willing to ask in faith, believing. Wow. You've heard me tell the story of my mother here many times. She got polio when I was 8 years of age. Spent 2.5 years of her life in an iron lung in a hospital. Couldn't breathe, couldn't move. Every time I come here and I see Randa, I think of my mom. My mom was the church pianist. And all of a sudden, she couldn't do anything. And when my mom was finally home from the hospital, she's strapped in a wheelchair. Can't move, can't dress herself. I mean, you talk about a mountain. But the first thing I remember my mom saying is, I'm asking God to do the impossible. She said, I'm very damaged goods. I know it. Everybody knows it. But I want him to give me something to do for him. I can't do music. And it breaks my heart, but I want to do something for the Lord. And I remember as a young man thinking, Mom, those days are gone. That's not going to happen. But she asked in faith, believing. Finally, a little startup church asked her to head their Sunday school. And so she started with a little Sunday school, and the only two people in her Sunday school were my sister and me. And you talk about grim. I thought, I'm doomed to go to church the rest of my life in Sunday school with my sister, who knows everything about me. Finally, my mom says, we got to get more kids. So she says, I'm going to go up to the big bus company and ask them to give us a bus so I can bring kids to Sunday school. I said, what makes you think they'll give them to you? She said, because I asked. What are you asking for? Impossible. We went up there, miracle of miracles. The guy said, if I give you a bus, who'd drive it? You can't even move. My mom said, you're right, I got to have a bus and a driver. And he said, okay, one Sunday, that's it, one Sunday. And my mom said, thank you, but I really need two buses because there's two sides to town. He said, okay, one Sunday. We left that bus company, and I thought, I don't believe this. My mom got him to give her two buses and two drivers. And on the way home in the car, I said, how'd you do that? She said, I asked. She said, I didn't do it. I can't do anything. But I can ask. There's no one more crippled than the Christian who won't ask. You've crippled yourself. He did only give us two buses, two drivers one Sunday, because the next Sunday he gave us three. And shortly thereafter, he was giving us 50 to 55 buses and 55 drivers every Sunday. The Sunday school with no kids in it, in 5 years' time, never, never, never had fewer than 5,000 kids in it. And the buses were bringing kids to Jesus like you couldn't imagine. And it was all done by a lady who couldn't dress herself, who couldn't feed herself, but she could ask. Whoa. Finally, she went to the city, and she said, I want you to let anybody ride a bus for free if they're going to church anywhere. And the city council said, we're never going to do that. Why would we do that? My mom said, because I asked. And the president of the city council, the mayor, said, what do you mean you asked? Who? She said, God. The owner of that big bus company jumped up. I'll never forget. He said, you better give it to her because she's going to ask for more in a minute. She said, when this lady asks God to do something, stuff happens. Would anybody say that about me? Would they say it about you? When my mom passed away and went to be with the Lord, they sent down some people from that Sunday school. And they said, do you realize you got over 150 pastors in the pulpit who got saved in your Sunday school? You got 250 missionaries on the field saved in that Sunday school. Because you asked. Oh, listen, America right now is not dying over a political philosophy. It's dying because God's people aren't asking and moving mountains. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Wherefore say unto you, under whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. This church is here because somebody asked. And now our future is based on moving mountains. Mountains in our families, mountains in our country, in our ministries, in our lives. And God wants to use you to be a mountain mover. Ask in faith believing, and you shall receive.